is the Day Zero Update for July 23rd, 2017. I am Felipe Rodolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Teresa Sammons.
And to say this has been an eventful week would kind of be an understatement, because all of the things are happening at the moment.
Yeah, Evo was going on during the last show, but didn't really get the big announcements until the show was underway or afterward, so...
Yeah, most of the big stuff happened afterwards, so...
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have a chance to cover that. And then, of course, this week is SDCC, so there's some news coming out of there. Well, that's relevant to us anyway, all the things are happening, along with those events.
There's been
some other news that has crept up during the week, and we're going to talk about it. Before we do, I just want to mention this week, there's a game coming out. It's called Pyre. It's by Supergiant Games. You might have heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's coming out on Tuesday, so buy it.
Yeah,
you should do that. Or at the very least, go on YouTube and listen to the soundtrack and then buy it, because probably you will want to after that.
Yes.
Because, Darren Korb is becoming a master of his craft, I would have to say. There's no other way to say that. He's, I think, becoming one of the best composers that's currently in the business right now. And that's saying something for me.
Yeah, that's fair, though.
Yeah. So, yeah, Pyre. I can't wait to play it. I wish my copy would unlock, but it's not going to until Tuesday. So, yeah. Anyways, what I have been playing, though, is Tekken 7, because it's still awesome. You know, they dropped another patch recently. It's just some bug fixes, but, yeah, it was much needed. Some of the customization items that you run across people playing online didn't quite work right. So, you have weird graphical glitches. So, they sorted most of that out. And I've also been enjoying and playing Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, which, it really is a single-player MMO. That's good and also bad, because, you've got the party AI, which is particularly, good at following your orders, and is completely terrible at improvising when needed. So, you have to do some micromanaging if you want to stay alive. But, it's a good game.
Still better than a lot of parties I've gotten on the Duty Finder in Final Fantasy XIV.
Well, yeah. Some people just don't know what the hell they're doing. So, at least this, you have a basic level of competence that you're dealing with. You know, they play their classes and they do it to their, full ability. Even though, it's a computer and it doesn't really know that, it could do other things. It just does what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's pretty much been my week, but what about you, Pat?
Oh, all of the things. Tekken 7 and Stormblood are going to be constants for me for a very long time. I, too, have been playing Final Fantasy XII The Zodiac Age, streamed a little bit of it, probably streaming a little more tonight. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe just picked up. NHL Open Ice I got on the cheap at Fun Unlimited.
Mm.
So I streamed a little bit of that the other day. Oh, yesterday, actually. And I tried I made my first attempt at one of my theme days on Twitch.
Yeah.
Superhero Saturdays with Kamen Rider Battle Ride War.
Okay.
That was fun. We'll probably give that another shot.
Yeah, well, that's a game you're not going to see very often, so...
Yeah, it felt good to be playing it again, too. Dynasty Warriors and Kamen Rider. It goes together really well.
Yeah.
So, it was fun. And just some of the aspects of Tokusatsu in general really lend themselves well to the Dynasty Warriors type of gameplay, so... Yeah, it was a blast. And I got to level up some of the riders I hadn't put enough time into.
Yeah.
So I will definitely be back on that. Not sure when, probably next weekend, but
yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah. You also picked up Rock the Rink, I saw on Facebook.
I did. I haven't started it yet, and that'll be interesting because I've actually never played that one.
Really?
So yep.
Ooh boy, you are missing some quality gaming there.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So. Looking forward to a game that came out nearly 20 years ago. But
yeah, it really has been nearly 20
years. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you'll see it was kind of ahead of its time. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
All right.
So that's it, basically. Me. Yeah, okay. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, yeah. I have some thoughts on, but I just think that powerful items are the enemy of fun.
Yeah, that blue shell is still there.
It's still there. The red shell got some absolutely ridiculous buffs.
Hmm.
Like, the biggest one being that it will follow you into the air.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And can knock you out of said air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what drugs were involved in that decision, but there had to be drugs. It's just one of those things where the core driving in that game is still so good that it may not make me look past the issues with items, but it gives it a chance to overcome them.
Yeah. And I'm guessing you turned off the assist, like, immediately.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I can see why they did it, but implementing them the way they did was dumb.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have been so bad if it wasn't the default. Yeah. It doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense. I mean, the acceleration one is not so bad, because basically all you're doing is holding the gas down anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just kind of a shortcut. But, yeah, that having that, you know, steering assist on there, yeah, it kind of screws you up if you're not really prepared for it. Because it'll
start... By kind of means really.
Yeah. So, anyways. So, how about you, Brandon?
I finished Tales of Berseria.
Ooh.
Yep.
And you will never
you
be
finished
the same.
It or it finished you. I'm still not sure which kind of game that is.
Mm.
Right. But yeah, so I got that finished. So yeah, it was finally time to put Final Fantasy XIV into the PS4 and install it. That part actually was very fast. It really only took about maybe 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And of course, I had to enter in the, because I got the Final Fantasy XIV Complete Edition. Mm. So, you know, on top of just, you know, the base game, you also get Heaven's Warden, Bloodstorm, and Stormblood as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
good
I had like
really.
Mm-hmm. $59.99. So.
Yeah.
I went ahead and I got, when you get the Final Fantasy XIV Complete Edition, what you get is you get the disc, which basically has the base game on it, so it's, you know, a Realm Reborn.
Yeah.
Then in the box, they give you a 12-digit alphanumerical code that you enter in at the PlayStation Store, and that gets you the both of the expansions. So all right. It's all the stuff, including the patches.
Yes.
Yep. So you'll be looking at that again tomorrow,
that,
probably.
How's that treating you right now, Brandon?
Huh?
How's what? That treating you right now?
Still downloading.
Yeah, it's still downloading.
Well, that was a given, but... Mm.
I have been kicked off the network once or twice.
Yeah.
So...
Because it is PlayStation.
But then again, I've been told that basically everybody has had that happen to them when they started this. So it's just a matter of waiting until all the stuff gets downloaded.
Yeah. Joy. All right. So how about you?
I will be there on Goblin Server to help you learn the ropes.
Cool. All right. Teresa, what about you?
I have been playing Final Fantasy XIV. A lot. This week I made a lot of progress, I think. So cool. I'm getting there. I'm getting close to Heaven's Ward. I think what, like maybe a couple of days and I'll be there. Something like that.
Probably. I think we can make that faster.
Well, we could if I would stop taking Flexeril and passing out. And it was because
Let's do this after the show.
We can. We totally can. Yeah,
I think I could get you to Heaven's Ward today.
Today?
Today.
All right, you heard it.
No bullshit. I think you're that close.
I'm sitting here balancing it between today there's going to be a lot of legendary Pokemon, or today I could get to Heaven's Ward. Which am I going to do? Which am I going to do? I don't have very many coins left, so I probably don't have very many raid passes.
I'm actually amazed that you've leveled up as much as you have just doing Heaven's Ward content, because so much of that is like no yield, or just doing a Realm Reborn content.
Oh my god.
Because where you're at right now, so much of that is just low or no yield on the experience.
There is no experience to be had anywhere. Yeah,
how did you get from 50 to 55?
Lot of leveling dungeon roulette.
Oh, okay.
A lot of that. And then some of it was just going and doing god damn. My brain is fried.
It's okay.
Yeah. Going and doing leave quests. I've been doing those.
Okay.
And other stuff. But then in the middle of all this shit, I stopped because I couldn't get a party. And I started leveling Conjurer because, you know, white mage healers, they get parties all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So in the middle of all this shit, I stopped and I've got my Conjurer up to like level 30. It's just stupid.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And I think I've got fishing up to 40, so I can do sky fishing and sand fishing now, which is not as cool as I thought it would be, honestly. But I'm making a lot of money.
I believe it.
Lots of Final Fantasy. And then a little bit of Plants vs. Zombie Game of the Year edition, because why not? Because I've got a touchscreen, so hey, let's do that.
Yeah.
And then so much Pokemon Go. Oh my god. We were out probably 5 hours this morning doing the legendary raid, or raid battles, the legendary raid battles. And I got my Lugia, but I did not get Articuno. No Articuno. Tried it 4 damn times. No Articuno.
Nope.
So, yeah, Scott got... did he get Lugia? I think he got Lugia the first time. And then I got it the second time. And then, poor little kid, he didn't get any out of all of them. He was so bummed. So, I'm not positive that we're not going back out to do more Final Fantasy. Pokemon Go. I have been in the sun way too long today. We drained all of our batteries. We kept topping it up in the car. We drained all of the power banks. And, you know, we needed to come home. But at the second to last one we had well over 50 people there. And I'm not downtown right now. I was in the city yesterday, but I didn't do the Pokemon Go thing because I instantly heard how that was going.
Yeah.
Not so well, and everybody that uses AT&T got kicked off because the tower went down.
Oof.
Which we use AT&T for our data, so that would have not been good. But apparently they're giving $100 worth of coins to the people who went, and they're offering refunds. And they expanded the area up to two miles. But still, in order to get Heracross and Unown or Unknown, however you want to say it, you still had to have the Pokemon Go Fest QR code on your badge or wristband, whatever it was.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, and I really wanted Heracross. And I don't really want to go to Florida because Florida.
Yeah.
And... come on, I like this game. I'm not freaking going to Florida to get Heracross.
No.
It's not happening. But
I don't think people go to Florida to go to Florida. They kind of end up there, like prison or Walmart.
Pretty much. But yeah, there's been a lot of criticism leveled at Niantic lately, and they've had this game for a year, and they could have done so much more to make it easy to play And people are coming back who have taken time off, and they're being frustrated by all the problems that they're having this weekend. And somebody had asked Scott, if this were any other game, would you have put up with all the crashes and the bullshit for so long? He's like, no. If it didn't have the Pokemon name attached to it, I wouldn't have even tried it. Hmm. And, you know, they're sitting on a gold mine, and they really need to start hiring some damn developers to do some stuff here.
Yeah.
And people.
It also explains a lot about how Ingress went.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Ingress it was never hit other... that scale.
No.
Exactly. Because it didn't have the Pokemon name attached to it, nobody would touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it's... I'm still going, and they've got, well, they've got 25 more bucks out of me. Because, you know, we were running out of raid passes, obviously.
Yeah, so...
I don't think they would ever do what it would take to bring me back.
You know, it's... It's almost at this point, you know, when they say about going to a car dealership and trying to buy a car, they suck up so much of your time that you feel like you have so many hours invested that you have to complete the transaction.
Yeah.
So you don't walk away. It's almost feeling like this. I'm like, but I'm halfway to level 34. If I just stick with it, I could get to level 40. But it is hard to remain excited about the game. I have found that I have not been playing very much other than to get my one catch of the day and my one Pokemon spin of the day, unless there's some special event going on. And that's why all the people that used to hold gyms with me are like level 35 and 36 now, and I'm sitting here, bum, 33. So, we'll see. And I probably need to spend more time on other games and give this one up for a little bit. There's so much more that, you know, I want to play. And yeah. Time shouldn't be limited, but sometimes it still is.
Yep.
So, I'm feeling the Zelda urge. We'll see what I'm playing next week.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be Breath of the Wild. It'll be something else.
Yeah.
So, that's it for me.
Okay. Yeah. So, we'll get into our stories then. There's a story here from Polygon about a psychologist calling out video game addiction as pseudoscience. Somebody want to cover this?
It was me that put it there, but... it's pretty self-explanatory. It's just nice to see more credibility leveled against the claims of addiction, I suppose.
I'm kind of gonna disagree, because anything can be an addiction.
It can?
Yep.
I mean, that's a predisposed gene.
Yeah.
But,
I think there needs to be.
I wouldn't put video games in a special box, though. Like,
no, I think that's sort of the point
like
the guy's trying
to
make.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's just, yeah, that's sort of the point he was trying to make, is that obviously it is true. Pretty much anything can be addictive, because addiction is basically a genetic thing. But video games aren't especially special when it comes to that. Because people forget that, you know, that was actually one of the anti-video game talking points for several years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people also tend to bash anything that they don't understand or that they fear.
Yeah.
And I think that there's some of this in there as well. Sure, yeah. There are people, like, you know, we've heard and read the stories about the baby who starves to death because the mom's too busy playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
People dying in cyber cafes. Or...
Yes. But this is like one in a billion or something. Mm-hmm. It's infinitesimal.
And it could have been anything.
Yeah.
It could have been. It could have been that, you know, she got addicted to, I don't know, drugs. Yeah. It didn't feed her baby. And I'm sure that there are plenty of children who have perished because somebody is so drug addicted that they don't care to feed a child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure people bitch about it, but everybody really wants to get on the video game bashing bandwagon. And I'm not down with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us are.
No.
But, you know, if they're going to sit and point a finger at somebody who plays 20 hours worth of games a week, which... first is ridiculous.
That's
because it's showing self-restraint. Yeah, it's showing self-restraint right there. Secondly, that's called recreation, so F you. And then third, how many damn hours is that person flapping their mouth, sitting with their phone bashed up to their nose? I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think
doing that, something probably infinitely less rewarding.
Yeah. You know, my take on the whole thing is there are definitely addictive elements to games, and there are some more unscrupulous developers that tend to exploit that kind of behavior.
Candy Crush.
Yeah. Candy Crush, yeah, it's like the worst example of that you could find, and you know they're well aware of how people can react to this stuff. They have psychologists that build this in, so you know I'm not saying that there should be regulation or anything like that, but I just think like the gaming industry as a whole needs to really look at that. You know, it's a decide for itself that, you know, maybe we're not going to do that, even though it will bring us in a lot of money. Maybe it's not good for society as a whole.
Well, it's not really the gaming industry as a whole so much as it is the iOS gaming entity.
Well, yeah.
And some MMO companies as well.
Yeah, there's that. But there's, like, stuff, you know, there's free-to-play mechanics and pay-to-win mechanics coming into $60 games now. You know,
there is.
So it's that
needs to be dealt
with. That needs to stop. Yeah, but that in itself doesn't really. It's not really related to addiction. But
I was gonna say I don't think that's an addiction topic. I just think that's a good best practices. Discussion.
Yeah, and positive peer pressure could take care of things like that. You know, if somebody finds out that, you know, this level 40 Paladin is only that way because he bought his gear and shit, they're going to give it to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So,
yeah, there is positive ways to stigmatize things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that would be a good one.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that'd be a great target.
Yep. And so speaking of positive things, recently, I think this week actually, The Doom version 6.66 update came out, and of course, that's what it's called, of course.
Because Doom.
Because Doom, yeah. So there was a bunch of fixes in there, but the big thing that people are calling out is the fact that they've dropped the season pass.
Yeah.
This is a positive thing in as a whole. Okay, it sucks for the people who bought the season pass, but because they're not getting a refund, and they already have all their content, so I guess there's no really reason
to do that. They already gave them their money.
Yeah, so that's there. But everybody who didn't gets all of the multiplayer DLC for free, which is, I guess, good? I don't know. One of the big changes to the multiplayer is basically an overhaul of how the game progresses. So, you know, they're improving that aspect of it, which is one of the things that a lot of people criticized about Doom, was just the multiplayer really wasn't very fun. So, you know, they're taking steps to address that. Hopefully they'll take steps to address the fact that the base game does get a little repetitive and tedious because of that stupid arena mechanic that they decided to double down on. But yeah, anyways, not that I'm bitter or anything.
Not at all.
No. Still, along with the...
But as somebody who didn't buy the season pass, I'm on board.
Yeah, so you just get everything. And, you know, they've also, to go along with that, and they want people to get in on the game, they've dropped the price. So, limited time, I think, but $15 US will get you the whole thing. So
that's not bad at all.
Yeah. So, if you haven't had a chance to pick it up yet for $15, it's definitely worth it. It's one of the best games of 2016, and, you know, there's a lot of fun to be had there, even if the arena combat does get a little tedious. Anyways. So, yeah, that's where I'm going to leave that one off there. Let's just have Doom 2, and let's have it a bit more open, please. You know, I see signs of that in the snap map tools that will let you build maps that are geared towards being more open and non-arena-based.
Just time to buy into it.
Yeah, so hopefully id themselves will take that to heart and make their map better. Anyways. So moving on, we got... I think we all remember 90s Arcade Racer.
Yes.
It's the game that we really wanted to play and then it disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's back. It's now called 90s Super GP.
A step in the right direction. I still wish they would have dropped 90s from the title.
Yeah.
Because it has that innate implication that's where the game belonged.
Yeah.
And this is a type of gaming that there's no good reason not to have it be a major part of gaming here and now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're about to see proof of that from other studios.
Yeah. Well, the announcement here is it's coming. It's back. It's going to be on Switch, PS4, PC, and it's apparently due soon. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's have that, because it
looks good. Let's have that.
Yes.
Looks really good. Hopefully, you know, we'll see Drift Stage trickling in soon. So
it's coming along.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is, you know, if you have a PS4 or a PC, you got a lot of good choices coming as far as your arcade racing. And that's great to see, because this is a genre that has been neglected for far too long.
Yes. Absolutely. And, oh, man, I don't want to come off as being negative toward Nintendo in this, but I think it's going to be to the game's benefit that they ditched the Nintendo exclusivity. Because I can see this being huge on the PS4.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I think, you know, realizing that the Wii U wasn't going anywhere during development was probably a very smart thing.
They needed something to do.
Yeah. So they switched to Switch. Pun, yay. But they also decided, hey, let's go multi-platform and put it out on all the things. So... except for Xbox One. That's conspicuously absent.
Yeah.
Because
hopefully it ends up there sooner or later. They've been really good to support arcade racers, and I think it would be good for everybody if this ended up on there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we will wait and see, I suppose. But yeah, there's images there, so go check that out. It actually looks, well, it looks like...
amazing.
Amazing, and you should play it. Well, I will play it when it comes out.
Yeah. I will play the shit out of it when it comes out.
Yeah.
Along with all the other great arcade racers in the pipeline, Segway.
Yeah. Yeah, including, it's the recent announcement from Sega. Following on the successful announcement of Daytona 3, they've decided that they're
successful
going to
reception of it as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is in arcades now, so.
Yep. And people are really liking it. Yep. So they're going to be doing a Super GT / Scud Race sequel.
Yes.
Scud Race may be a game that a lot of people don't know here in North America, because I don't think it actually made its way to arcades over here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I would have to do a little more research on that. But it's basically what happened to the Daytona series after they lost the Daytona license.
Yeah.
They made a game, Sega Super GT / Scud Race, that that was built on the same engine, the same gameplay concepts.
Hmm.
And
just different type of cars. Was,
yeah. They actually got car licenses for it.
Yeah. And it looks like
that's
continuing here.
That's the SC part of that acronym, supercar.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it stands for altogether, but yeah, it's a fun game. I'm happy to see them revisiting it.
Yeah. I mean, if it comes over stateside, they can't call it Scud Race, because in North America, Scud has a very different connotation.
Yes.
So, Super GT will probably be the better name for over here.
Well, that's the name that they invoked when they announced it, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, check out that trailer. It looks really good. So let's... well, let's hope that one's not exclusive to arcades for, you know, ever.
Foreseeable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. So
I think they're eventually going to be forced to put Daytona 3 on console.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind them keeping it in the arcades for a good while and getting people to really go there and experience it.
You have to give arcade owners the bang for their buck.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things that was killing arcades was the fact that why buy a multi-$1,000 arcade cabinet when the game's going to end up on console and everyone's going to stop playing it at that point anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sega has a really interesting opportunity here because their Daytona 3 cabinets and their new arcade systems are all internet-based. They're all internet-ready.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they certainly used it on Daytona.
Yeah, they used it on Daytona, and you know, they've got cross-locale multiplayer, which is really interesting.
Yep.
Now, imagine console and arcade multiplayer together.
Oh, man.
Like, I was kind of talking about that as maybe being something Street Fighter V might look at, but because of the, you know, lag issues and stuff involved, that might not be a great fit for a fighting game. But
a racing game.
That's,
all of a sudden, it's all on the table.
Yeah. And that would, you know, it would sell a lot of copies as far as the console version goes. But it would, you know, be pretty interesting for people, you know, people going to the arcades would have a whole, you know, different set of people to compete against. So
it would guarantee the presence of human competition, even if the arcade itself was pretty much dead that day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that could be very interesting. Something Sega should really look at. Hey.
Yep.
If you're listening.
And what was I saying when they first announced Daytona 3?
Mm-hmm.
They did not build that hardware for just one game.
No.
Not with all the thought that went into it.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that Sega Super GT2 or Scud Race 2 or whatever you want to call it is going to use a lot of those same features.
Yeah.
Mm.
So.
And I'm just really hoping that we get to see this game sooner than later.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm also hoping that this is a good indicator that maybe we'll see OutRun coming back.
Well, the guy from Sega, I think Paul Williams is his name.
Yep.
He really wants OutRun to happen, so he'd be the one to make it happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, it turns out Sega's pretty good at arcade racers. Maybe they should keep doing those.
They should do those more often.
Yeah. Mm. And I'm just trying to imagine, like, a modern-day version of Hang-On.
Oh, yes. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Now, that would be something that, yeah, I could see that being arcade exclusive for a good long time, because you could do some really interesting controls for that. So.
And then when it finally did go to console, that would be an earth-shattering announcement.
Yep. So, that would be good.
Especially if they did something like VR with it, or... Oh, I don't know. There's a lot you could do.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the first real, you know, big budget arcade VR project.
I think it's getting terraformed for it.
Yeah.
The groundwork is being laid.
The arcade system Sega's using right now has more than enough power to handle that.
Yeah.
So, we have to keep an eye on that.
I have to wonder how Williams sold that to Japan, though. We need to develop not just a new arcade hardware, but a fucking amazing arcade hardware in 2016, which it was, I believe, when all that development happened.
Yeah.
That couldn't have been an easy sell.
No. They found somebody who was receptive to the idea, and, well, the rest
that
is
makes me
history.
Happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just imagining... Hang-On Arcade being a VR title.
Well, I think that's almost where they have to go with it. Maybe not exclusively VR, but I think there would be a VR form of the cabinet.
Yeah, because...
kind of like how there was that 8-player version of Super Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't see that very often.
It's the one possibility of several.
Yep. Yeah, I like it. So, now, if that leads to an arcade revival, that would be really nice.
Yeah, well, the right people with the right mentalities are leading the charge.
Yeah.
And if these are the people who are going to, you know, set forth on this Herculean task of resurrecting arcades, I have every bit of confidence that they're the right ones to do it.
Yeah. And you gotta give props to Roth Rills over there in Chicago, because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they're doing their part.
Yeah, they're definitely doing their part. Yeah. Well, anything that Eugene Jarvis is involved with, you have to pay attention to.
Yes. You know,
they've done a lot of stuff in the arcades to keep that format alive. You know, some of them have been, you know, those redemption games or arcade ports of mobile games, which is weird, but they've done that kind of thing.
But they also and done, that is, you know, the life support machine that will ensure that the arcades will be there for stuff like Scud Race 2 or that new cruising project and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So
it may not be the kind of thing that gets us into the arcades, but it gets people into the arcades.
Yeah.
And you know, that has to happen in the meantime.
Yeah. So excellent. So there's no real good segue here, so I'm just going to mention it. Sony is getting ready for PS4 firmware version 5.0. Of course, the announcement for this, of course, was met with lots of comments about people wanting backwards compatibility and the ability to change your name on PSN.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you can also, of course, sign up for the beta and not get picked, because that's how that goes, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And cause Sony doesn't, unlike Microsoft, Sony doesn't have an insider program. They do this sign-up thing every single time, instead of, you know, opening up like a normal company would.
Mm.
Just saying, that's the one thing that, one of the good things that Microsoft has been doing lately. And it's been...
it's almost like they don't want feedback.
Yeah, really. It's like, it's like they don't really want to know what people think.
Exactly. They want to be surprised when they launch the new firmware and it goes tits up.
Yeah. Like launching firmware version 4.50 and breaking a whole bunch of people's Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm one of those people, by the way. My PS4 Pro, this still hasn't been fixed. The 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi does not freaking work well at all.
Oh, God.
It's on the PS4 Pro. It crashes. It is super slow. But the 2.4 works fine. So that's what I use. But I would like to use the 5 gigahertz because I'm right next to the router. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd have less interference because I'm right next to it. So, oh, well. So... there you go, Sony.
Fix your shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make your firmware not suck and maybe add the ability to sort your games alphabetically.
Gravity.
Yeah, repeal gravity.
Work on that whole world peace thing.
Yeah. In other interesting news, we got the design reveal of the Atari box. It's
still a lot we don't know.
Oh, yeah. We don't know pretty much anything about it, other than the fact that it kind of looks like a 2600, although kind of sleeker and more modern looking. But it's got...
2600 before it was the 2600.
Yeah.
VCS.
Yeah, the one with wood grain. Well, there was a bunch of 2600s that did have a wood grain, but anyway.
Yeah.
The wood grain again?
Yeah, we got to have the wood grain. I mean, yes.
Oh, there's an alternative that doesn't look like that.
Yeah, I see that red one. Or is that the back of it?
The red one, yeah, the one that looks kind of like an LGP2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the alternative design.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you don't want the wood grain.
Yeah. But it's got all 4 USB ports in the front, so I'm guessing it will allow four-player, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneous gameplay, which is, well, kind of a feature you're going to have to have. It's kind of, since it's 4 USB ports, I'm kind of thinking they're not going to do wireless controllers. Which also leads me to believe that they're not really going to aim this at competing with the PS4 or Xbox One.
Well, I would hope not.
Yeah.
That would be too hard to break into.
Yeah, it's a
That's
very difficult
That's how you get
market.
Knocked out of the market.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Nintendo.
So, but if they do this wired, could we could still have 4-player couch co-op, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's 4 USB ports there, so yeah, you should be able to plug
them all
in.
There's a lot of tripping.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, that's how it was back in the day, you know?
Yeah. Don't get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't fall on your ass every time you had to go to the bathroom, you weren't really doing it right back then.
Nope.
So, so, of course, I'm pretty sure that's why you put the console on the floor, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I'm thinking it's probably going to be something similar to maybe kind of like an NVIDIA Shield. Is what I would guess. Probably running Android, probably with a decent system on a chip on there. And I'm thinking this is going to be mostly an emulator box.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, I would be really interested in seeing what would happen if Atari really tried rallying the troops, bring in a lot of the X developers from back in the day.
Well, the ones that are still alive, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these guys
and
are dead
see what
or
they
retired.
Could make for... And see what they could make for something like this.
Yeah.
Because the Atari name, you know, they're no Nintendo, but it has value.
Yeah, it still has value to a certain set.
And if they came and said, hey, we've got Dave Thierer working on shit, that would sell me one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I keep saying that, but yes, it will be because... This is Atari, you know.
Atari's been out of the game for how long now? I mean,
this is Atari, and this is a CEO that really believes in what he's doing here. So, you know, don't discount it. There's probably something here. We might not have the full details yet, but there's probably something.
We're covering the story because we find it worth watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, don't make the mistake of putting a number pad on the frickin' controller.
No, God. No, don't do that. Yeah, that would really, really suck.
Although I have to admit, I thought those overlays were kind of cool back in the day.
Yeah, but they were useless.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you couldn't... Yeah, the touchpad was just terrible. But yeah, I'm thinking this is probably going to be... And I'm noticing that there's no... There's no storage or anything or SD slot that I can see there.
Yet.
So this may be a completely online type of console.
Now that would be a good idea, mostly, if executed properly.
Well, yeah.
Instead of, like, having, you know, memory be in the controller somehow, like the old VMUs weren't really memory that much. For the Dreamcast, I mean, that's the only other way I could see them doing storage.
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't do that.
They got to be careful, though.
Yeah.
I got two words for you. Infinium Phantom.
Oh, God. Yeah, that
and
thing...
And if so many of you listening to this show are saying what in response to that, exactly.
Yeah. Because, that was supposed to be a PC-based console that would download and stream games. Well, just download, because streaming wasn't fast enough back then.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And it turned out that people like having digital rights to their own titles.
Yeah, it turns out.
Exactly.
So it was the whole thing just, it was stillborn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for that really cool lap board controller that they had. Yeah, it was that little tripod controller with the keyboard, and then you had the mouse pad underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
To keep on your lap. Yeah, that actually did come out.
And it was probably more profitable than the entire system would have been.
Probably. So, yeah, the Phantom lap board, you can probably find them still on eBay. So, yeah. But anyway. So we got news from CFN.
Yeah, this is interesting. Complete matchup data for ranked matches for the month of June. And apparently they took it for May as well. This is not to be confused with a tier list, because tier lists are based on characters in any fighting game being played at their utmost potential.
Yeah.
That's not what this is. This is every single non-mirror match. Here are the results character by character. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, if you're Evo Top 8 or Champion of Chuck E. Cheese. All these results were factored into it. So, in a way, it's going to be a more useful resource to the average player than a tier list, because the fighting genre is inherently results-driven. And if you're an average player, this is probably going to be a lot closer to the results that you're going to get, which is why it still matters, even though it's not a bona fide tier list. I would like to see more... I would like to see tools applied to sort of thin the data out, or maybe say, this is how these matchups went from players between these two ranks, or stuff like that. But in the long run, this is the first step toward revolutionizing how we think of character balance.
Mm-hmm.
And to be completely honest, it's a very interesting read. Because if you hold this data up to the tier lists, it's like night and day.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't really quite not line up.
So. Like, obviously you have your usual crop of characters that win major tournaments and such. They aren't the characters that are yielding the best results overall for players in general.
Yeah.
Because at the absolute top level, you hardly ever see Fang represented.
Yeah.
Take a look at where he is on this chart.
Yeah, he's up there.
Uh-huh.
You have Balrog, who's generally considered a huge problem among among online players. And you see this data, you have to wonder why.
Yeah.
Because compared to, say, M. Bison or Vega, he's treading water.
Yeah.
Still one of the better characters, but not the dominator that a lot of online players try to make him out to be.
Hmm.
Another surprise, Dalsim in 7th place.
Hmm.
I think a lot of that is because so many people don't know the matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, and that you know, that fire, that is really, really annoying.
Yeah. So. Ken and Ryu, 4th and 5th from the bottom.
That's actually kind of surprising, because you'd yeah. think they'd be near the top as far as usage goes, but yeah. this is success.
And right above them is Akuma.
Yeah.
Who, you know, just got done winning Evo.
Yeah, so.
4.827, that's 48.27 percentage of wins.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is good data. I mean, you know, if you're a stats nerd, you kind of want to look at this kind of thing. And this is good for Capcom, too, because it kind of, you know, gives them the ability to figure out, okay, where the problem spots are. So,
yep.
And address them. So,
yeah. I still think there's an obvious need for formal true tier listings.
Yeah.
But having this results data is... it's filling in another piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, well,
we've still got a lot of other pieces that we need to gather, but this is great information.
Yep. So, all right, so we got some SDCC news, some more character reveals from Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yep.
Spider-Man, Frank West, Nemesis, and Mike Hagar.
Yep. Still. Seems fairly consistent with that leak, which was unfortunately a very conservative character selection and just a very conservative roster size overall compared to us getting spoiled with MVC2 and Ultimate MVC3.
Yeah.
But I was kind of afraid that that would happen with the move back to 2-on-2.
Yeah. But, well, you know, as long as they get enough of the good characters in there, they can always add more later.
Yeah. But I'm happy to see Hagar.
Yeah.
Because now that I've got Jedha there, I mean, he's going to be my point character, absolutely.
Hmm.
I was looking for a grappler who was not Thor.
Yeah.
Because Thor's command grab sucks balls. And I needed... I needed a grappler that I could actually grapple with. Now I have one. So I'm thinking when I get this game, I'm going to be playing Jedha and Hagar.
Oh, dear.
As my team. So.
Yeah, good luck with that, everybody.
It will be interesting at the very least. It might not work out for me, but I'm going to have some fun with it at the very least.
Yeah. So, we got other SDCC news. Apparently Shin Akuma going to Ultra Street Fighter 2.
Not DLC. He was in there all along. It was just a code that was revealed to unlock him.
Oh.
And if you look at the method that's applied, it might look vaguely familiar because it's a shout-out to how you played as Akuma in Super Turbo.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
basically, kind of cool. The difference between him and normal Akuma is he can fire two
air fireballs.
Yeah, this is not going to help Ultra Street Fighter 2 with its balance problems.
No. And also his normal attacks make like twice as much damage as the normal version.
Mm.
So.
I think he has less life, though.
Well, it doesn't matter if you can't touch him.
Well, true enough. So
I mean, that is seriously the problem.
Yeah. You can't get anywhere near him, so that was kind of a problem. So, yeah.
Like, just the way Street Fighter 2 is built, you have a character lobbing fireballs out of the air. No one can cope with that.
Yeah.
Nope.
Just from a pure design standpoint.
Yeah. So, oh, well. And not really expecting Ultra Street Fighter 2 to be like a hugely competitive game, just because of the platform.
Which is a shame, because it had amazing potential.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was really hoping it would be the game to bring Street Fighter 2 back.
Yeah.
But if it was not to be.
If it gets off the Switch, then maybe. Because logistically, doing tournaments for Switch is just not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way to connect controllers to it. It's, it's all wireless, isn't it?
No, if it's docked, you can connect USB controllers just fine.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
that's why Hori's got that Switch version of the Real Arcade Pro coming.
Hmm. Yeah, so I still
that A-Trap that was announced before the Switch launched.
Yeah. So cool stuff. Yeah, well, hopefully it'll come to PS4, though, because then I'd be able to play it.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Ono says that all hope for Ultra Street Fighter 2 coming to other platforms depends on how popular it is on the Switch. If it sold well on the Switch, they'll explore other versions.
Well, I think it sold pretty well, so wouldn't see it. You know, yeah. I don't think it flopped.
Yeah, I did my part.
Yeah,
but it definitely needs a balance patch.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that'll come eventually.
Yeah, can only hope.
Yeah. So we got Evo stories and a whole lot of them.
Yeah, Evo was busy this year.
Yeah.
So delightfully busy.
Yeah. Let's start off with Salem now taking out Zero in Smash, which is something that doesn't really happen very often.
May not be something I would consider a fighting game event, but props where it's due. Beating Zero in any circumstances, no mean feat. So, shout-outs to Salem for pulling off the win.
Didn't Salem come out of losers?
I believe so. Zero came out of losers.
Oh, Zero came out of losers. Okay, so he managed to keep Zero from resetting. So
I think Zero reset the bracket, and then Salem put him away.
Yeah.
I only caught the tail end of it, but the way the commentators were talking, that's how it went down.
Hmm. Yeah, that one, it was an interesting one. I personally thought the Smash finals in general were just too long.
But
that's really an artifact of just that game's format.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's not a fighting game at heart, and when you try to make it one, there are going to be some logistical problems.
Yeah.
So...
those last few matches were pretty good, and, you know, trying to get Bayonetta off the stage just does not work.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. If you can see her, she can get back to the stage.
It's very hard work.
Yeah. Anyways, so props to Salem on his win there.
Yeah, that was worthy of respect.
Yeah. Yeah, we've also got to give JDCR props for his Tekken 7 win. Yeah, that could have gone real.
So many ways.
Yeah.
But at the end, for Tekken, it was that impenetrable Korean fortress in the top three.
Yeah.
And, the Koreans brought it this year.
Yeah, and I learned two things this year as far as Tekken 7 goes. Mm. First, don't make JDCR angry.
No.
And second, don't make JDCR angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
pretty much... that was the story, really. He was pretty salty for some of those wins, and there were a few instances where he's like, "All right, fuck this guy, I'm gonna win now."
Yeah, well, he started with Steve, and then switched to Dragunov when things weren't working.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
it worked.
Yeah, it worked out for him. Yeah, and those were some really good matches, one of which ended up in a double KO win.
Yeah.
Which
I'm not sure if that's even ever happened at Evo before.
No, I don't think that's ever happened.
Especially not in top eight.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to actually give props to Namco for that that slow motion finish that they do.
Yeah. That's hype as fuck in tournaments.
Yeah, that is stylish as balls. I mean, okay, it's a little annoying because, yeah, you know, you're probably going to get hit, except maybe sometimes you don't. So,
when you're playing, it's the worst thing ever. When you're watching, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah. Because, sometimes you'll hit and sometimes you will be hit. And it just depends on how that works. I mean, it's good stuff. So, yep. Play more Tekken if you.
It's good for the game. Already. Absolutely, yep. Play more Tekken. The series is in the best place it's been in years.
Yep.
That's coming from somebody who hasn't really cared much for the Tekken scene since Dark Resurrection ended.
Yep.
It's in a great place now.
So, which brings us to probably what was the real big event of the evening, which was the Street Fighter V Grand Finals.
Oh, my God.
PGI Punk versus Tokido. Tokido won this with a bracket reset.
He started top eight in losers. He did this the hard way.
Yep. Yeah, he started top eight in losers and just worked his way back up. His Akuma seemed to be just a bit too much for most people he ran into.
Yeah, and that's not putting down anyone that he played against, because this is Tokido we're talking about.
Yeah.
Just one of the true legends of the fighting game community. You really just can't say enough about him. And that Punk did as well as he did for at least the first set of Grand Finals tells you this kid has a future. And yeah,
he does. Even when things were getting pretty bad for him, he still managed to pull out a really good round every now and then. Yeah, so
good play here, good play there. Yeah. You could pinpoint the moment where he was mentally taken out of the set.
Yeah.
But he's young. That shit happens. Even now, there have been times when mental fatigue sets in for me, and I'm like, I'm tired of this. I want to go home. I want my bed. Hmm. Fuck this guy. I just, you know, that's normal. Yeah. And, you know, mental stamina is a big part of being a competitive fighting gamer, but it's also the hardest part to learn.
Yeah.
And it will come with time. I have every bit of confidence that Punk will be back and placing in top eights and even winning EVOs in the future. So he was pretty emotional about the loss, but as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't have a damn thing to be ashamed of.
No, not at all.
He played fantastic.
Yeah, he played a great game, you know. And he just... basically, like early on in the tournament, he just basically bodied Itazan. There wasn't any other way to say that. So,
Which is also no mean feat.
No, no mean feat at all. And, you know, given his namesake's reaction to his performance, I think
Didn't even know he watched Evo.
Apparently does. Apparently CM Punk does watch Evo. So,
and had a very had really great words for him of encouragement after the fact. And that's just one of those things that it makes you feel good to be a part of this fighting game community.
Yeah, because we've had our doubts in the past about where this thing was going, but there's still a lot of good people here, and you know, don't write it off yet. Yeah, especially this year. I think this year was kind of an inflection point for Evo. We saw a lot of new competition, you know, just a lot of new people from all around the world were there.
A lot of old heads coming back, too.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And I think it got summed up really well just in the last interview of the night when Tokido was asked about just his outlook in general, and you know, in very simple English, because I'm not sure exactly how fluent he is, but the way he put it was simply, fighting games are really great. And you could understand everything that he was putting behind that without an explanation.
Yeah.
And James Chen's reaction on the stream said it all as well. I mean, just go back and watch that. It's at the end of the link that we have here in the show notes. And, yeah, that's what fighting games mean to a lot of us.
Yeah.
And
now, if we can only get Eris to check himself a little bit every now and then.
He's gotten better, but
yeah, he was trying this year, but you know, a little bit slipped out now and then. So,
and I would also say that his value as a tech and analyst is absolute at this point.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone breaks the game down better than Eris does.
Yeah,
and I mean, back in Tekken 6, what I played of it, I owe a lot of my Dragon off to Eris, so I have to give shout outs for that. But I don't think he's going to be on ESPN anytime soon.
But, not without a 45-second mute. It's not that he swears or anything. He was actually pretty good about doing that.
He just makes some pretty lewd jokes.
Yes.
And off-color humor.
Yeah.
Which, so, being a part of the fighting game community, you come to expect from him.
Yeah.
But
the ESPN crowd would probably not appreciate that. Just put it that way.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be getting a live mic on ESPN anytime soon.
No. So,
it would be a lot of fun, but probably not great for the fighting game community.
Yeah, so. So moving on, we got David Serlin is back. He's got another game coming out, Fantasy Strike.
Yep, it's being crowdfunded right now. I am definitely going to be chipping in, and that might be strange when you see what this game's actually about, because I'm not a huge proponent of dumbing down fighting games, but it's laid out in such a way that it makes sense. It's the much needed introductory fighting game that we've never had.
Yeah.
And I obviously it's not going to be like an Evo main stage game at any point, but that's not what it's for. It's to help people develop things like their neutral game and things like that. Just the core essence of what it is to excel at fighting games without having to learn the execution aspect of it first. And that's never really been a thing. You've always had to be able to execute to make the most of your neutral game. And I think that's precluded a lot of players from learning the neutral game, which is, as far as I'm concerned, where fighting games are at their best. I mean, that's why I love Street Fighter V as much as I do compared to 4. But I don't think it's going to be itself a great game, but as a resource, it is going to be invaluable, and that's why I support it wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I mean, there's some ideas here from his robot fighting game that he had from a while back. I think it's still running. I'm not sure if that's shut down or not, but...
I think it might be.
Yeah. But, and yeah, there's some... Yeah, I'm all for this. It's, I'm not going to say my first fighting game, because that kind of has bad connotations to it.
Yeah.
But it's... I'm kind of looking at it...
putting it, though.
Yeah, but I'm kind of looking at it more as a tool to get your concepts down.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
You know?
And so... That's why I'm so on board with the entire idea.
Yeah.
Because that needs to be a thing.
Hmm. So, all right. So apparently fighting games on the Switch are, well, being looked at very positively, according to
Toshimichi Mori. That's a very strong ally for fighting games on the Switch to have.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is... I guess one way to put it is he's the other guy at Arc System Works besides Daisuke Ishiwatari.
Yeah.
This guy is the brains behind Blaze Blue.
Yep.
Which is already coming to the Switch, I might add.
Yeah.
He sees a lot of potential in the Switch as a gaming hardware and the Switch players as a target audience for a really bright future for fighting games. And this is the kind of guy who can make a difference on that.
Yeah. So that's, that's basically all of the real, ancillary news that came out of Evo. Now we got some announcements.
Yes.
These are pretty interesting. So let's start with, okay, not a whole lot to say here. Dissidia NT is console bound because, of course, it is.
And it was running on a PS4 2 years ago.
Yeah. But it's getting a closed beta, so...
Yeah.
Yep, the sign-ups for that are starting... Oh, they're already underway. That's right. Yep.
So
this one is the one that has the beta already underway. The next one we're going to be talking about start Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
So
that one, yeah.
I'm still surprised that Tifa hasn't been added to the roster yet.
Give it time. We aren't even halfway through the roster.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that by the culmination of the arcade roster is probably going to coincide pretty closely to the console's actual release. So, yeah. Expect there's still some time there. So, but what we did see of it, it's definitely Dissidia. It's definitely the most unique looking fighting game I've seen in quite a while.
Well, a fighting game. It's more like a third-person MOBA, almost.
Yeah, kind of.
On crack.
Hmm.
Just...
It's basically League of... Like a sort of more meatier... Visually meatier League of Legends, but it's one-on-one instead of...
Yeah, instead of with
creeps. Well, no, it's 3-on-3.
3-on-3. Yeah, but there's no creeps and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
going after esports with this.
Yeah.
So. Like, all out. This is a 3-on-3 game. Players are going to want to build their teams amongst their friends and compete that way. And based on its arcade reception, they've got a hit on their hands. And it's Team Ninja developing. So,
yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
They're no strangers to fighting games. So.
And they're no strangers to making fighting games that are surprisingly in-depth.
Yeah.
And offbeat, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So
still no jigglies, but...
That's okay. No, not
really. I think the game just moves too fast.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to pay attention to it anyway. So.
Well, they might be there, nobody's noticing.
Yeah.
Well, Tifa's not there yet, so...
Yeah. So anyways, let's see. We got, you alluded to this before, but Dragon Ball FighterZ is also getting a closed beta later this year.
Sign-up start on Tuesday or Wednesday. Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I probably want to sign up for this because I'm not a huge Dragon Ball fan. You know, I respect it, but... Yeah, this looks like something I might actually enjoy playing, so I'm going to give this a shot and see what it's like. And hey, if it catches my eye, maybe I'll buy it.
Everything that I've been hearing is that it looks and plays amazing. So,
and also, its arc system works, but it's not being headed up by Mori or Ishiwatari.
Nope. Mm.
Her name is Tomoko Hiroki.
And she's awesome.
She is on a single-minded mission to bring Dragon Ball to its rightful place in the fighting genre. Because the fighting genre owes Dragon Ball a lot. Mm-hmm. But there's never been that one game that really elevates the IP to the standard that your Street Fighters and your King of Fighters and all these things that really have their roots in a lot of ideas that Dragon Ball originated.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotten close, but it's never
I'm a huge fan of the Super Butoden series. I'll say that completely. But this is a straightforward effort to give Dragon Ball its rightful place among anime fighters. And just listening to Hiroki-san talk about it, we've talked a lot on this show in recent weeks and months about developer passion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she personifies it.
Yep.
So, yeah, really looking forward to this game. You should look forward to it whether you're a Dragon Ball fan or not. If you're a fighting game fan, this is definitely for you. And if you want the 3-on-3 thing going on, since Marvel's abandoning it, that's going to be Dragon Ball FighterZ's format. So, 3-on-3 Tag Fighter is alive and well.
Yeah. And, yeah, you couldn't really ask for a better representation of that format since, that's kind of Dragon Ball's thing.
Yep.
So,
and it's interesting that, you know, the timing of it, because Dragon Ball Super right now, the current series in Japan, it's going into a tournament arc with a very similar idea. Well, it's in a tournament arc with a very similar idea.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that a lot of the character selection will include Dragon Ball Super, because if it's just Dragon Ball Z characters, it's going to be bland as fuck.
Mm.
Yeah.
They've got to get Super in there, because Super brings so many interesting new characters to the table.
Mm-hmm.
That it would be a horrible missed opportunity to leave them out.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, is this something you had a chance to look at, Teresa, the Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Nah, man, I played that one on PlayStation way back in the day. And
it kind of ruined you for
it was really sucky. It was really bad. So, no.
Yeah.
Kind of not my bag. Love Dragon Ball. Love watching it, but meh.
Yeah, not so much. Yeah. You know.
So, yeah, there have been some turds under that IP.
Oh, yes.
GT.
Yeah.
Anyways,
which basically using no longer about, exists.
GT is not even canon at this point.
It's like, we Toriyama disavow all knowledge of that.
Everything that he's writing right now makes GT impossible to even have happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Dragon Ball universe has been cleansed.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so now we have Arika. They showed off quote-unquote Fighting Layer EX.
That's what a lot of the fans are calling it, because it doesn't have an official name yet.
Mm-hmm.
They should probably think about naming it pretty soon if they're going to make a 2018 launch.
Oh, yeah. they know what it's going to be. The other part of this is they announced Skullomania, Darren and Shireze.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be Street Fighter EX 4. There's no... I have no
doubt about it. Well, they've used those characters in a non-Street Fighter property before.
I know, but the thing of it is, if you're not going to mention what the name is, it means you want to be coy about it. Yeah. You want to align... I think you kind of want to align things with Capcom so that you start announcing the Street Fighter characters a little bit later. I mean, I don't see any reason that you wouldn't.
I see what you're getting.
Yeah. See what I'm getting, sure I'm going?
And Ono is totally the type of person who'd be on board for something like this.
Yeah.
Make no mistake.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you're going to make a, if you're going to make a 2018 release and you still don't know what your game is called after a year and a half of development, I don't know what the problem is here.
That's true. You think that's going to be like the big reveal at TGS?
Yeah.
This is Street Fighter EX4.
Yep.
We are working with Capcom again, and here it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's very, very likely to happen. And what I think is happening here is they're building up hype. They're showing that they're more than capable of doing a competent fighter. You've got people who have played it now and can attest to that.
Yep.
So now
credible people in the community.
Yeah. So when you finally do make the announcement that you've got Street Fighter,
they'll know how
a lot more people who are more receptive to it.
Yeah, they're going to know how it'll be received.
Yep.
That's a damn fine point.
Yep. Mm. I make them sometimes. Most of the time, I just blather on like an incoherent idiot. So
that's what we do, though.
That's what I do when I end up hosting.
Hey, oh, well.
Oh, that was fun, too.
Yeah. Anyways, so we also got another BlazBlue announcement. BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle coming, it's got Persona in it.
Yeah, coming out 2018. I'm pretty sure this is Mori's current project.
Yeah.
BlazBlue itself looks like they're going to be content letting Central Fiction ride for a few years, which I absolutely welcome, because the reason I've shied away from BlazBlue in recent years is because they annualized it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now it seems like they've arrived at their sort of Super Turbo Third Strike installment where let's just let this settle for a while and see where it goes. And it gives them a chance to work on other projects like this.
Yeah.
So, two-on-two tag, which I'm surprised that Mori's team hasn't gotten around to sooner than this. Really interested in seeing how this one plays out, even though it is BlazBlue, and its mechanics and its fan base are equally quirky.
Yeah.
But I could get on board with this. I love that Persona is being included. I love that Under Night is being included. I just want to see, the subsequent announcements about the character roster and everything else that's to come. If they do a beta for this, I am going to be in on that on day one.
Yeah.
Just to see what the hell's going on with it, because this can't be anything short of epic.
Yeah. Good stuff there.
And I want to see how Jin and Adachi interact with each other.
Yeah. That's
because that has to be a thing.
Yeah. So, and speaking of what the hell's going on, we got a very interesting and unexpected announcement regarding Tekken 7. Geese Howard will be DLC.
It's awfully nice of Harada, since he took out my main from Tekken 5 and Dark Resurrection, to at least bring in my main from another franchise. So that will help me out.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily on board with this crossover all the things mentality that has taken over gaming and really much of geek culture in recent years. But if they're going to do it, at least do it in a way that benefits me. So, I will definitely be, at the very least, trying Geese out when he arrives this winter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we don't know is whether he's going to be the first DLC character or whether he's just going to be among the lot that will come out.
Well, they called him DLC number two, with, of course, Eliza being DLC number one.
Yeah. Although, yeah, Eliza, technically, if you pre-ordered on day one, you got Eliza anyway.
And I finally redeemed my code for her.
Oh,
so
okay. Real time.
People have been needling me about that because they've noticed when I've streamed it that she hasn't been on my character select screen. So that's solved now. I redeemed my code. But it does point to something interesting that Harada said before Tekken 7 launched on consoles. The season pass stuff, that's anything that any DLC that he charges for is going to be for a guest character. Meaning, and he said as much here, native Tekken characters, even added as DLC, will be free.
That's good.
So I think there's going to be some time release shit going on, too.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, Tekken pretty much invented time release.
Yep. And if that's going to happen, I mean, the game came out the 2nd of June. So, well, I don't know. Maybe 2nd of August we'll start to see another character in there, maybe? Every two months?
Or even every month would be nice if they could get that working. And I'm sure... I mean, I'm sure the development's moving at that kind of a clip when you look at how things have gone in the arcades.
Yeah.
And they are finally doing an arcade patch. I didn't get this in the show notes because I couldn't find the link after the fact, but they are doing an arcade patch here that catches the arcade version up to the console version. So okay, there is so, that as well.
So Eddie and Eliza will make it to arcades.
As well as a whole mess of balance changes that were in the console version. So, yeah, Harada, a few months ago, referred to 2017 as the year of Tekken.
He's on pace there.
Yep, we're working toward it. I'm pleased with what I've seen so far.
Yep. And in other DLC character news, Tuesday will be, one for Street Fighter V. We pretty much knew that Abigail was going to be, coming to Street Fighter V, and we got the confirmation trailer.
But how ridiculous did he end up being?
Completely and just totally out there. But you got his V-trigger right, though.
Honestly, Capcom's taking a lot of shit for adding Abigail to Street Fighter V, but at this point, taking all of Final Fight's characters into consideration, name one Final Fight character that has not been in Street Fighter yet that has more to offer than Abigail. I've wanted to see him in Street Fighter since at least Alpha 2. Yeah. And so that made me happy. And just hearing about what his V skill, what his V trigger do, they're staying so true to the character, even if the design is a bit silly.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him be a little bit more of a serious, just giant murdery character. But I'm just happy that he's there. And
well, they got the giant part right anyway.
Oh yeah. Well,
holy crap! The dude is massive.
So. He had to be bigger than Hugo, and they got that. I just love all of his shit involving armor, which makes perfect sense. And that his critical art is hilarious, which for anyone who hasn't seen it, he grabs his opponent, stuffs them into the ceiling, and punching bags them. And this animation will play out even if there is no ceiling. The non-existent ether above the stage, and you will see chunks of plaster flying down.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched that trailer yet, I definitely invite you to do so because
it's hilarious. It's
and I'm glad that they brought in his stage from Final Fight and gave him an amazing remix of that theme.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy with that news overall. I know a lot of people aren't, but honestly, this is something that I've wanted to see in Street Fighter for a long time. And so even though I'm pretty well settled with a rotation of characters, I'm going to be adding Abigail to that for sure. Another thing we should note is that Abigail's inclusion pretty much confirms a rumor that that confirms that the next two DLC characters will be Minot and Zeku. So, Minot being the sort of derpy fortune teller from Ed's story mode.
Yeah.
And Seku being the master of the Bushinryu clan, of which Yai and Maki are a part.
Yeah.
So, and Kairi from Street Fighter EX, while we're on that subject.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Zeku is the leader of that clan. And so I'm really interested in seeing how his gameplay mechanics are going to turn out now that he's basically confirmed.
Yeah. So cool.
And Abigail's release will be Tuesday along with his stage. So
if you've got the character pass, you ready. Get those. And what else we got here? Oh, yeah. EVO Japan details. We got the games that are going to be included, and that's going to be Street Fighter V, Kingdom Fighters 14, Smash 4, Blaze Blue, Central Fiction, Guilty Gear, XR, Rev 2, and Tekken 7.
And ARMS.
And ARMS. Forgot about that.
Yeah, it's an interesting lineup. I was kind of hoping, with it being Japan, that they'd find a way to sneak Virtua Fighter in there. But things at Sega being what they are today, and EVO being what it is today, how perfect would it be if AM2 took the stage at some point to announce Virtua Fighter 6?
Yeah. That wouldn't entirely surprise me. So
January's not that far off.
No, January is not that far off, and Sega did renew the Virtua Fighter domain, so...
The planets are slowly aligning.
Yep.
And we have a version of Sega now that puts a value on its arcade legacy more than it ever has, I think.
Yep. So. And finally, we got numbers from Twitch on just how many people have been streaming the EVO event.
We know why Twitch wasn't working so well last weekend now.
Yeah, we should probably go through these because, they're significant.
Tekken, Street Fighter, and Smash being the main offenders.
Yeah. So let's see what we got here. I have to scroll down. Derp a derp. Wow, that's a spike.
Yeah.
Jesus. yeah, that's, well, those are graphs. not sure what they say. Let's see, these are numbers. Yeah, anyways.
Basically,
yeah, I can't even read that.
The gist of it is you had probably as many as 14 concurrent streams running from EVO all that weekend.
Yeah.
And many of them topped out around the 150,000 viewer mark. While 14, other EVO streams were running.
14 concurrent at 150,000. That's, that's a lot. Yeah, that would explain why it's certain parts of the weekend you would go to Twitch and nothing would happen.
Yeah, you would just load a blank page.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough to get to see all of the Tekken that I wanted to see. Enough to make me salty that I couldn't go, because I think I would have been one of the better King players there.
Yeah.
But I've said that before. I'm just kind of dwelling on it. Next year. It's got to happen.
Got to happen, but next year. So.
Whether I'm still a King player at that point, I probably will be, because I've just put so much into him now that at the very least he'd be in my rotation. But, yeah, I was not impressed with the King stuff that I saw there. But you warned me about that, Phil. So,
yeah,
you saw some rules before I did.
Yeah.
But, that's kind of inspired me to go all in on Tekken again. Probably making Tekken 7 my main fighting game moving forward.
Yeah. There's definitely, you could pick a worse one.
Yeah. So.
So that was basically all of the important stuff from EVO.
Pretty much.
Yep. And, yeah.
It gets bigger every year.
Gets bigger every year. It gets a little bit more mature every year. The competition is definitely there. So, Yeah, I expect probably next year will be kind of a breakout year for Evil, I would think.
Yeah.
So we're going to have all the majors will be kind of mature now. Street Fighter V will be three years old.
Yep, we'll actually be halfway into Season 3. Think about that.
Yep.
Maybe we'll see... maybe we'll see Iron Galaxy find a way to refresh Killer Instinct and get back into EVO. Mm-hmm. A lot of major fighting games could be coming out by then. You've got... we don't know when Dragon Ball FighterZ is going to be. We don't know when Fighting Lair EX is going to be. BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle could be out by then. And who knows what we're going to see announced at EVO Japan.
Yeah. And there will be announcements.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely anticipating that there definitely will be stage announcements.
EVO Japan got announced and, you know, set in stone, I think there are some developers out there that had announcements that they were going to bring to TGS that they're going to wait for EVO for.
Yeah, that's because if it's, if you're a fighting game developer, that's your crowd there. That's where you want to be advertising.
And so. The interesting thing about it is that it's not being treated as a local event by the player base that I've seen. A lot of people I've seen have been saying, no, this is EVO. I don't care where you're from. Go to this.
Yeah.
So this is probably going to be the most widely attended Japanese tournament ever.
You know, EVO in January, and then, EVO Japan in January, and then EVO, whatever they're going to call it, in June or July.
Yeah.
That's
just going to be EVO.
Yeah, it's just going to be EVO. But,
oh my God. And it's going to be right on the heels of Capcom Cup. Think about that.
That's going to be difficult for some players to sustain. Yeah. I think Capcom Cup probably moves.
Well, no, Capcom Cup is a PlayStation experience. That's...
Oh yeah, that's stuck
hard
there.
Fast. That's immovable. But well, you've got a good month and a half between Capcom Cup and EVO Japan.
Yeah.
So logistically, it might be a little bit dicey, but you have so many good players that are sponsored today.
Yeah,
that'll make things easier.
Well, it's good for the Japanese and Korean crowds anyway, because it's not that far for them.
And Capcom Cup is a qualifying event, so it's not like you're going to have people going there to attend it like they do EVO.
Yeah.
So you're probably going to have about, just a small handful of players that are going to be competing in both events, and the vast majority of them are sponsored. But it's going to be a news smorgasbord.
Yep.
All of the announcements.
Yeah. And
Capcom Cup. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, to be quite honest, I'm okay with having two EVOs a year.
I am too. And it's going to get more of the player base to experience the Japanese scene.
Yeah.
As someone who, became a fighting gamer in the 90s and really came up a decade later, I know the value of that experience. It's something that everyone needs to do if they're involved in fighting games.
Yeah.
And EVO Japan is going to make that so much easier.
Yeah.
What was I going to say, though? I think I dropped it. Oh, well.
Oops. He dropped his combo.
Oh, yeah. as of Capcom Cup, we're already going to be 3 months into Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is another CFN game, I should add.
Yeah.
You think Capcom's going to want to announce something new?
Well, that probably would be a great time for that Street Fighter announcement involving Eureka.
That's true.
Yeah, you can just kind of slide by TGS and just hold off for EVO Japan on that. Just saying.
I was going to say Darkstalkers 4 because Ono seems hellbound to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, he does want it to happen.
And at this point, with all of the attention and all of the success that we're seeing from Street Fighter at this level and all of the hype that we're seeing for Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, He's got to have Takeuchi's ear by now.
Yeah, well, but what concerns me is he going to be too busy? He's still overseeing Street Fighter V and its continued development.
He's also got Ayano.
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean, what if Ayano made Darkstalkers 4?
Well, that could work too.
I'm a huge Ayano fan, I should add. Just every time he does an online Q&A or something and just talks about his personality as it pertains to fighting games or his ideas about game design, I love everything that he says. So if he was the head of Darkstalkers 4, I would be so stoked. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
And also, I should point out that Ono isn't working on Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. He's just promoting it. That's Yoda Nitsuma's project. So,
yeah, okay. So there's possibilities there. Because, Street Fighter V at this point is, it's maintenance. They're bringing out new content and all of that. But the base game is done.
Yeah.
So, it's not as much of a huge time sink for him anymore. He could really oversee another project.
Yep. And he's still working on Deep Down as well.
Yeah. Mm. So.
But, Capcom, they still have a very strong stable of fighting game developers. They lost a couple of guys to SNK, but by and large, they are still very healthy in terms of, I guess, roster depth for fighting game development. They don't have a thing to worry about. And just the frothing hype that is behind any potential Darkstalkers 4, they know people want this game.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I also think that the climate is there now for Darkstalkers 4 to happen. Street Fighter V got off to a rocky start, but it's, progressed to the point now where it's a mainstay of pretty much every tournament at this point, and it's going to be there for a very long time. We saw Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite come in. That game's not out yet, but the fact that we're seeing it so soon after Ultimate Marvel, is encouraging for me.
Yeah.
Capcom
seems
to be...
Something else I want to point out.
What's that?
Character selection in Infinite.
Hmm.
Usually they put characters in that they want to promote in their own games moving forward.
Yeah.
Jetta is not there, ironically.
No. So, yeah.
And Morgan's already there, and the rumored roster that seems to be holding up so far includes Felicia.
Yeah.
Or was that Shenko? One of the two. But that's a lot of Darkstalkers presence.
Yeah, that's a lot of Darkstalkers presence.
They,
it's also,
they want people to know who these characters are.
Yeah. And it's also pre-made assets.
Yep. So. Well, Jetta isn't. He's never had a 3D model before now.
No, but what I'm saying is it's all assets that could go right into a Darkstalkers game.
That's true, yeah.
They might revise the movesets.
He would be one
stuff,
of the first characters that they would finish in that development.
Yeah, so.
Good time to be a fighting game fan. Good time to be a Capcom fan.
Yeah. It's good stuff. So I think we're going to put a button on this fighting game-centric episode of the Day Zero Update. As usual, if this is your first time listening to the show, you can subscribe via Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, or your favorite RSS reader. Check us out over at smashpad.com or facebook.com/smashpadsocial or facebook.com/dayzerooupdate. We're there. With that, I am Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brian Parkins.
And I'm Teresa Sammons.
And have a good one.